Last Sunday, there is definitely something to warm weather and sunshine, as opposed to it never really got cold over the winter, but cooler weather and gray clouds. There's something about the sun that just boosts morale, and that's an illustration in and of itself, isn't it? But it doesn't matter if it's sunny and 70 degrees or 20 and snowing. It's the same. What I was noticing last Sunday is the same. I was looking around, noticing all the hugging that goes on around here. A lot of hugging. And smiles on faces. And I was so thankful for that. So thankful for that. Monday, I came to the church and I started studying some things, and I was actually leaving the church, headed home, thinking about it again, thinking about how thankful I am, happy I am, truly, truly happy and thankful that God has given us each other. And we love each other, don't we? We love each other. We see each other out in the town every now and then. And I was reminded of something even this week, how our God is light. God is light. He's the Father of light. He's the Father of lights, the Scripture says. Christ in you. And every time we see a brother or sister out in the world, we see a little light in a dark place, don't we? And it's comforting. It's encouraging. I'm thankful to our Lord for giving us that. And I was thinking about all this, and it made me want to protect it. I want to protect my love for you, and I want to protect your love for me in whatever way I can do that. In Christ, in the salvation of Christ, the love that God puts in us for each other is the greatest, it's the sweetest, it's the most valuable gift that God could give us here on this earth. Because of that gift of faith, because of that gift of salvation, because of everything that we have in Christ, because of that, the love that He puts in here for God, aren't you so glad He put a love in here for the God of the Bible? Aren't you so glad? And the love that He's put in here for God's people, that's the sweetest, that's the most precious gift that God could give us here on this earth. Behold how good and how pleasant it truly is for brethren to dwell together in unity. When this ugly flesh, when Gabe Stoniker's ugly flesh tries to ruin that, it's just horrible. It's just horrible. And I think, what in the world am I doing? Mouth, stop, please. Mind, it's time to stop. Heart, that's enough. That's enough. In those times, as long as we're in the flesh, we're going to be in those times. But when we're in those times, I was driving down the road repeating three words to myself, thinking about this whole thing. Thinking if in those times, if God would let us do these three things: love, forgive, forget. Love, forgive, forget. That's the answer, isn't it? That's the answer. Love, forgive, forget. And I thought, how does a believer really, I mean really, how does a believer really do that? What truly motivates a believer to do that? And this verse of Scripture came into my mind. Jeremiah 31, verse 34 says, "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." No more. He said, I'm going to love. I'm going to forgive. And I'm going to forget. Love, forgive, forget. There is only one way that is possible with God Almighty. There's only one way that's possible with the Holy God. Turn with me, if you would, to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus 16. This is precious. Now, right here, God told Moses to tell Aaron. God spoke through Moses, and he said, I want you to tell Aaron to take two goats from the congregation of the children of Israel. The congregation is going to bring two goats, and it's going to be for a sin offering. And right here in Leviticus 16, verse 7, it says, And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. Now this is how it's going to happen. Okay, this is what it means. If you look right here at verse 15... It says, Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering, that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions in all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. He said, the goat that fell on the Lord's lot, bring it in here to me and kill it. Bring it in here to me and shed its blood. That's what I demand for sin. And then after my demands are met, and after I'm satisfied, verse 20, he said, When he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. Now, we talk all the time about the fact that something has to be done about our sin. Isn't that right? That's something we never want to stop being a broken record on. Something has to be done about our sin. Something has to be done about our sin. Something has to be done about our sin. While men and women do not believe they're sinners, when they say, well, yes, the yes means no, what they're saying is, well, no, but no. Okay, while they believe they're not sinners, we are. It must be dealt with. We must be told. We must be reminded every single time. Before God can love, God must make us lovely. Naturally, nothing is lovely about us. Nothing is lovable. And in order for God to truly have mercy on us, He must deal with this sin. These two goats both represent Christ. It took two goats to represent Christ. God said, one of them is going to come into me and be slain. The other one, Aaron is going to put both of his hands on that goat's head and confess all the sins of the congregation. And all of those sins are going to be imputed to that goat. And that goat is going to bear all the sins of the people. They are going to go from the people onto that goat. That did not literally happen. That was a picture of Christ. That literally happened. All of the sins of His people were imputed to Him, laid on Him. And then God said, I want a fit man, that's Christ, to lead that goat to a place far away that is uninhabited. Nobody dwells there. There's nothing there. And then you leave that goat there. And that's what Christ did for our sin. Christ died our substitute. And when He did that, He put our sins far away. Far away. Gone. And then verse 26 says, He that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water and afterward come into the camp. Then he can come back in. And God said, you've sinned against me. You've sinned. You've sinned. But this is what He said. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Isn't that right? He did. I've loved you with an everlasting love. So Christ said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. He was brought into the presence of God and He said, Father, that love brought Christ into the presence of God, and He said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. They know not what they do. Don't you wish God would put that in our heart? I wish God would put that in my heart. Lord, forgive me. I know not what I do. And then cause me to forgive them. They know not what they... None of us know what we're doing. None of us. Help us. Help us. Christ was the offering. Christ was the substitute. Christ was the fit man. And He took all the sins of His people to an uninhabited place, the grave. No, nobody lives there, the grave. Everybody's dead there, the grave, uninhabited. And He left them there, never to be found again. And now God says, the sins that you and I commit against Him. I wrote this out, and I came back and read over it, and I said, oh, that needs to be committed. And I said, no, commit. Currently. The sins that you and I commit against Him and currently commit against each other, they're gone. They're gone. You talk about deep things. They're gone. The sin that I am going to commit tomorrow is gone. And the sin that you are going to commit tomorrow is gone. Christ has already put it away. He's already put it away. And it's never going to be brought up again. Does that give any of us a license to sin? Does that make us want to run out and sin? No, sir. No, sir. That's humbling. That makes me want to sit still and just wait on the Lord to come back. But he said, I'm not going to remember them. I'm not going to remember. I'm going to forgive them, and I'm going to forget them. And the reason is because they don't exist. They do not exist. God's chosen, God's elect, God chose a people to do this for. And those chosen, blessed, honored, called people rebelled against him, rejected him, hated him. And God the Father, Son, and Spirit looked at each other. God the Father said, love. God the Son said, forgive. God the Spirit said, forget. God said, I tell you what, I'm going to love them anyway. As long as you will keep your end of the contract and you'll keep your end of the contract. Christ said, I'm going to forgive them. As long as you'll keep your end of the contract and you'll keep your end of the contract. God's Spirit said, I'm going to go out to them where they are and I'm going to call them. We're going to forgive them. We're going to forget. As long as you'll keep your end of the contract and you'll keep your end of the contract. Love, forgive, forget. Look with me at Jeremiah 50. Jeremiah 50, verse 20 says, in those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. God says, see if you can find it. You go out and see if you can find it. It does not exist. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I, and do you know what that word reserve means? Love. Choose to keep. Choose to keep. Now, we've read so many times Ephesians 4:32, which says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's all the reason we need, isn't it? All the reason we need. This morning we had a Bible study on the subject of milk and meat, the word and the walk. And here's an opportunity for us to chew on some meat. Okay? Here's an opportunity right here. Go with me, if you would, to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. If we could do that, if we could truly love our enemies, how easy would it be for us to love our friends? If we could truly, truly, truly love our enemies, how easy would it be for us to love our friends? God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, and that's how and that's when we can commend our love to each other. That's how and when. Right in the middle of this sinful flesh right here trying to ruin it all. Right in the smack dab middle of it. Trying to ruin it all. Just ruin it all. We can love and we can forgive. We can. Look with me over at Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 21 says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Peter said, "I've heard you talk about that seven, number seven. That's the number of perfection. So maybe I can count them." Okay, that's one. That's two. And once I get to seven, can I stop? Verse 22, "Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, Peter said unto him, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." 490 times a day. A day. 490 times per day. How many times a day do I trespass against my God? How many times a day? If you cut everybody else out, how many times a day? And he's forgiven me. Thank God. My hope is built on the fact that every single time in the blood of Christ, he has forgiven me every single time. Love, forgive, forget. All right? Here's how we can forget. Look with me at Luke 17. Luke 17, this is wonderful. Luke 17, 4, "And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." Now watch this. "And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith." Cause us, this was their response, "Lord, cause us to look more on you. Cause our minds to think more on you." Do you experience the same thing that I experience when God blesses his message and when God enters into our little walls and blesses the worship service? When God sends his Spirit into this place and for just a moment increases our faith, as the word goes out, that's a brief moment of an extreme increase in faith. And when that happens and we become completely enamored with Christ, you know what happens to me? I literally forget about everything else. Is that what happens to you? I honestly, all of the problems, whatever's going on, this one, that one, this thing, that thing, for that moment in time, I honestly forget about it. As soon as it's over, there it is. But I forget about it. People say, "I can forgive, but I can't forget." Not true. That's not true. If God would increase our faith and if he would cause us to more and more and more be taken up with the Lord Jesus Christ, if he would consume our minds and our hearts with Christ and what he has done for us, how he has dealt with us, if we would just be taken up in awe over how he's dealt with us, it would honestly cause us to absolutely forget about everything else. We'd forget about it. Every injustice, every wrongdoing committed against us, this is what we would say. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. That's what we would say. And it would be amazing. It'd be amazing. A man named Shimei was giving David a hard time. David said, God sent Shimei to do that. Love, forgive, forget. That's the answer. That's the way. That's God's way. May he cause us to walk in that. Truly walk in it. And here's why. Go with me back to the text in Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, verse 34. It says, there's going to come a day real soon, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. We're not going to have preachers and teachers in God's house trying to exhort and instruct and encourage and trying to show Christ and trying to expose sin. He said there's not going to need to be any more need for that. That's going to be completely over. Verse 34, he said, for they shall all know me. They're all going to be taught of God. They're all going to possess and they're all going to be experiencing eternal life. This is eternal life, that they might know thee. I'm going to draw them all near to myself. I'm going to speak directly to their hearts. I'm going to teach them. And he said, from the least of them to the greatest of them, they are all going to be just like me. They're all going to be just like me. Any differences that we have down here are going to be stripped away real soon. Real soon. They're just going to be stripped right off. We are all going to be just like Jesus Christ. Every single one of us. There will be no ability to find fault in any of us, because there will be no fault in any of us. And if our God says, if this is what he says, if he says he will forgive our iniquities, the ones that we committed down here on this earth, if he says he will forgive our iniquities and remember them no more, then so will we. The reason is because we're going to be just like him. That's exactly what we will do. Let's call on him. This is not a closing statement. It is, but it's not. Let's call on him. As we pray, let's start incorporating this into our prayer. Lord, increase our faith. Whatever it is, calls us to go. Next time something happens, increase our faith. Lord, help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Increase our faith. Let's ask, let's beg. Maybe he'll let us get started early. That's what my hope is. I would love to get started early. Maybe today. Maybe today. Love, forgive, forget, for Christ's sake. All right, we're going to have a closing hymn. Let's all stand together.